For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast. Week 13 almost in the books, headed towards week 14. Monday Night Football still to come. The usual Monday morning rundown. Look back and look ahead here with Jacob, and Taylor's in the room working here as well. All right, let's have at it. What do we got this week? Obviously kind of a busy week.
Yeah, Wild Week of Football, fantasy playoffs are quickly approaching for a lot of people. I think it starts week 15 for a lot of people. Week 14 is usually last cutoff week, so we'll get some fantasy names later on the list. A lot of big matchups next week, including Philly, Dallas, Buffalo at KC. So not sure where to start, but I think one of the most confusing news of the day that came out this morning is Derrick Henry is not in concussion protocol. Took a big hit in that game. Kind of got swept off his feet and took a helmet right to the shoulder right to the side of the helmet. Did not return. It was Tyjae Spears down the stretch in a game that had two block punts, a punter leave on crutches, pretty much everything in that game. Missed extra point. Ryan Tannehill was holding. I don't know what to make of the news that Vrabel said Derrick Henry's not in concussion protocol.
So that's implying he never had a concussion. Did anyone ask at the press conference if he didn't have a concussion, why didn't he return to the game or sidelines? Did he talk to reporters post-game?
I don't believe he did. I think I'll have to follow up with all that stuff. We can see on Sick Insights, we'll be tracking that all week. But by our data, usually 22% has been the clearance rate for a player, whether skill position or not, coming back without missing a game. But if I would assume that he'd have to proceed through all the steps without symptoms. But that sounds like he doesn't have symptoms today.
Vrabel sounded very definitive by saying he's not in the concussion protocol. And this is where the wordsmithy comes into play. Remember Brock Purdy earlier this season with symptoms on the plane? And I was like, oh, he's not going to clear. But somehow they determined, I believe, the symptoms on the plane were not a concussion. And therefore, he was able to clear the next week. He's one of the guys that have done that. And
There's Gus Edwards too early in the season that Harbaugh said, oh, I'm not sure if he's in the protocol or not. We'll let the practice report decide. And then he was FP on the practice report and out of the protocol technically. So he didn't want to mince words with that, but yeah.
So let's explain this. First of all, let me put an end to the myth. Skill position players do not return more slowly than non-skill position players. There's really no difference whether you're a quarterback, wide receiver, running back, fantasy relevant or not. Quarterbacks are not held out longer, nor are they returned more quickly. They're at the average. It all depends on the concussion. And that's right and fair. The doctors shouldn't be jury-rigging the process based on the position that they play. But let's explain this and Derrick Henry. And the other one we'll get to is Jalen Hurts. Yep. Okay. So the way the process works is this, whether it's a buzz down, whether it's suspicious hit or symptoms or whatever it is, the norm is to go to the Blue Medical Tent first. And let me tell you something. There is no such thing as a full evaluation in the Blue Medical Tent. All it is screening questions. What happened? Do you remember what happened? Did you get hit? Did you see lights? Did you lose consciousness? You know, what day of the week is it? What was the play? Fairly simple conversational screening questions. If there is any index of suspicion, if there is none, that's when they can get cleared and come back in right away. If there is any suspicion, then you need to take them inside for a full check. And statistically, I don't know if we've kept it. Once you go inside, it's overwhelmingly that you don't come back.
Yeah.
But there is a small window where you could say they went inside because of high index of suspicion, but didn't have symptoms. Jalen Hurts, He came back into the game against the 49ers. But Derrick Henry's a little unusual. He did not come back into the game. I believe he had time to have finished the concussion evaluation. Maybe we're threading a needle here where the doctor said, we're still not sure you had a concussion, but we need to watch you for another hour to be sure. We're holding you out right now. And now the fact that Mike Vrabel says he's not in the concussion protocol is basically saying they determined he never had a concussion. Now, he didn't talk to media, but maybe we were still in the process. If he had a concussion, by definition, he's in the protocol. But now by saying he's not in the protocol, if he never had a concussion and he was only in the protocol process to diagnose the concussion, he doesn't need clearance from the independent neuro to return. And we talked about how Derrick Henry usually dishes out the punishment.
Yeah.
But this is why they say don't leave your feet. Once you leave your feet, you get that initial surge of being airborne. But now, unless you're Superman and can change directions in midair, you're committed to where you're going and you're a target. And that's what happened to Derrick Henry. And he got spun around a little bit.
Yeah.
Big dude. But anyways, so I guess they're saying no concussion for Derrick Henry and no concussion for Jalen Hurts, but yes, concussion for Derek Carr. Now, remember, Chris Olave just this week returned from concussion.
Right, did not miss a game.
Yeah. Did not miss a game. So the things that you've seen out on Twitter, nobody has returned. That's not true. Only 3% of that's not true. It's 22% is the number.
What is interesting from a just analysis standpoint that no two concussions are the same too. It's not like if a guy's had a bunch of concussions in his career that they're going to hold him out longer, that type of deal. I mean, maybe out of precaution, there's some conversations behind the scenes. Hey, this is what's best for your health, but it's not like that leads to a longer concussion recovery.
Well, you know, Derek Carr had a concussion earlier this year, and now this is his second one.
Right.
I would be very, very surprised if Derek Carr cleared concussion protocol to play this week, besides the 22% number, if this is indeed his second one on the season.
It's really hard to confirm that because he did FP the last Wednesday that he did. He was in the protocol. So, I mean, they always just say they don't say physically he has a concussion. So this is the second time he's been in the protocol, but I can't definitively say that this is the second concussion.
Correct. And if he does indeed, this is indeed his second concussion, he is definitely not playing
right
this week, but that's yet to be fully confirmed. That's a kind of the thread the needle question, I guess, for Dennis Allen and
yeah,
and others, et cetera.
Wishing the best for Derek Carr, but please just give me a full Jameis game. we had the Lions going against the Saints, Lions -4, and Jameis coming to the game was the worst possible thing, but he's so excited to watch.
30 for 30 was, yes.
Was you don't know what's going to happen.
It's interesting. We'll see what happens there, but definitely Jameis still there is interesting. He's animated.
A big one for offense struggling recently. Ramondre Stevenson, high ankle sprain. By video, you saw that the hip drop tackle that injured him fumbled on the play. They ended up getting shut out. Zeke had 17 carries for 52 yards after Stevenson left. But is there any chance we see Stevenson on Thursday or even the following week?
Zero. High ankle sprain. He's lucky there wasn't an associated fracture. We've said it before. Hip drop tackles are dangerous. They're as dangerous as horse collar tackles. Some could argue more. How do we outlaw it? I don't know. I mean, the defender's got to make a living too. I mean, is it you just can't leave your feet and land on their legs behind them? It's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to run through a lot of tackles. Is it a quicker whistle? Like, two end touch, if you're bear hugging their waist, we're gonna blow the whistle more quickly to save you from I don't know.
I can see so many fumbles getting called back from that too. That was already happening to play this week with the Broncos, that a quick whistle negated a fumble. So yeah, it's tough to adjudicate.
Yeah, there's been enough referee issues and Ramondre Stevenson fumbles because he lands on his ankle and in pain and reaction drops the ball. Look, this could be his season,
right?
High ankle sprain If he goes on 4 weeks IR, that's basically the season, especially if your team is two wins.
Where the Pats going to be in 4 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, et cetera. So no chance for Thursday at all. I thought one of the more interesting things we saw was, who was the runner? He had a...
Yeah, it was Tyquan Thornton had a, I think it was an end around that ended up going for 39 yards, something like that. But Devontae Parker, supposed to be lead blocking, got a little distracted on the play.
He celebrating number one, like this is going to be a touchdown.
Put his hands up, everything.
Meanwhile, the defender continues to run and chases him down from behind. And whereas Barker just needed to turn around and block. And maybe the Patriots actually win 7-6. Brandon Staley owes Devontae Parker a favor there, maybe.
Celebrating a touchdown on a game where you get shut out is pretty crazy. Premature touchdown celebration.
I mean, he was right in this sense. There was one safety coming over, and he did beat that safety. Yeah. So, but it was the guy trailing Devontae Parker that catches him. Anyways.
They might just want to throw that film out from last week. I know the NFL does want to.
That's not going to look good in the film room. What do you think Bill's going to do with that one? Okay, I've heard from enough guys who have been on the Patriots. Let me give you an example of what Bill's going to do. In a team meeting, he's going to say, Devontae Parker, stand up.
Oh.
What were you thinking here? What is your job on this play?
He didn't give him the floor.
You know,
yeah,
and these look. I've heard about it from everybody. Like people who told me stories. That's where Tom Brady was really good for the team. Bill would do that to Tom.
Hold everyone accountable,
and you know, do your job. What was your job on this play? I
mean, to celebrate the touchdown.
Yeah, do your job. What are the rules? Do your job. Contrary to public opinion, Bill lets his players talk. Mm-hmm. But his rule is don't talk about injuries and only talk about you. Mm-hmm. Don't talk about what the opponent might be doing. Don't talk about your blockers or anyone else.
No finger pointing, nothing like that, yeah.
Talk about you. You can talk. Don't talk about injuries, but you can talk about you.
Yeah.
That's why he got mad at Wes Welker when he had the jokes about Rex Ryan and the feet. Because you're talking about somebody else.
Yeah.
So his rules are pretty simple there. But, you know.
That's so much more effective than just laying into a guy yelling at him on the sideline. I think just the slow play and the dread of having to stand up in that meeting.
It's
giving me secondhand. So.
I can't speak for right now, this year, this team.
Right.
But that's how it historically has been done. I mean, if you really... I think we talked about it historically once when we had Doug Flutie on the podcast. And he's like, oh, yeah, he'd stand up and embarrass anybody. But he wouldn't be like, you know, Brain, you just say, stand up. Tell us what you're thinking.
You
see the film, you know? It's not a good look. The film doesn't lie.
Wow. Well, another fantasy darling that unfortunately went out this week, Tank Dell, the left ankle, high ankle fracture, the worst degree of high ankle that you told us. Interesting that he was injured on a run block. He was the lead run blocker at, I don't know, 5'9", 165, something like that. He's a shifty little speed threat, and they got him lead blocking for Damian Pierce, who ends up landing on his ankle, and that knocks him out for season and playoffs if they make a run.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, look, I'm not going to question play calling or D'Amico Ryan's. Don't know what it was, but yes, if you're on the football field, you have to block, and even quarterbacks. Now, blocking in the pile, now, well, I guess you could say that a smaller player like Tank Dell is probably hanging on for dear life when he blocks, which then makes the roll up on the ankle more, as opposed to dominating and moving feet. But you do have to block in the NFL, and wide receivers do have to block. He's not coming back this year. Guys, he's got a fracture. He's a speedster. He's not a plotter. I mean, forget his size, but he's a speedster. He's not even doubting Houston. Houston has outperformed. Houston looks like they may be a playoff team. I don't know how deep they're going to go, but even if they went to the Super Bowl, which, okay, we'll all agree that's still a long shot. Tank Dell is not coming back this season, unfortunately. Aaron Rodgers still has more of a chance to come back than Tank Dell at this point in time.
Is this the week that we finally put that to bed, Doc? Aaron Rodgers, the comeback hype there. They fell to 4-8. They play Houston next week, actually, and then Miami. He still has 2 weeks of the practice window open. I'm sure he's going to be at practice. I'm sure there's going to be in the conversation. What's the realistic chance, if you had to put a percentage on it, of that he returns this season?
I mean, I'm almost nostalgic about this. My whole week last week was the daily Aaron Rodgers videos, yeah, and commenting on this, that, the other. And we said then he wasn't moving that well. Could he progress to play? Yeah, maybe if the Jets stayed alive, but 4-8. Okay, I'm still not used to the 17 games.
Right.
Now, you got to remember, with 17 games, I'm very used to the 16-game schedule. And with the 16-game schedule and, you know, in general, 11-5 is a very odd year that you don't make a wild card. The Patriots didn't make it that one year with Matt Castle at 11-5. Very unusual. And 8-8 gives you an outside shot. Outside shot.
Yeah.
9-7. There usually is a 9-7 team that makes it, but sometimes a 9-7 that knocks you out. And 10-6 usually makes it. Now, with a 17 game season.
And the third wild card, too.
And the third wild card. How does the math work? I think 9-8 gives you a chance. I think 10-7 is pretty darn good.
Right. That's why it's looking
right
now.
And 11-6 is almost all but a guarantee.
Right.
9-8, you know, that's where they're at, right? It's borderline at best. Yeah. But 8-9, unlikely no to shot, happen. Yeah. So they're up against it. I mean, is Aaron Rodgers going to play this week against Houston? I doubt it. But if they lose to Houston, stick a fork in it. I mean, so I'll kind of miss the continual chatter about Aaron Rodgers. And in my line this last week, and maybe I shouldn't have said it, I said, look, he's doing great for where he's at, and kudos to him. But right now, I'm faster than Aaron Rodgers, and no one's going to put me in at quarterback or any position in the NFL. And that's not saying a lot. You know, it's still hard to speed up biology. Kudos to all the hard work. We said from the get-go, it wasn't impossible. He's not there yet. But the Jets have to stay alive. Otherwise, why take?
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The chance.
Yeah.
Now, more curious to me, you were talking about, what's the Zach Wilson chatter? What's going on there?
Apparently, there's a report this morning from Diana Rossini, reputable reporter, more than reputable, but said that the team is leaning towards putting Zach Wilson back in. They did put Trevor Siemian in the game, swapped out Tim Boyle for him, and there's reports that Zach Wilson is reluctant to return to the starting role.
Was there a reason why? Feels he's not ready. The offensive line doesn't want to go down on a sinking ship.
Mad that they skipped over him for Trevor Siemian to put him in, because he was the third on the depth chart. They made a point to say that, or whatever they listed.
Siemian was third.
Zach Wilson was third.
Third.
Okay. And then Siemian was second and got put in the game. So maybe Zach Wilson's mad that they didn't put him in the game for Tim Boyle.
Okay, I'll ask you this question. I'll even let Taylor chime in here.
Yeah.
Just a hypothetical. And the quarterback room, the position quarterback is different, right? It just is, as the leader and what have you. What is a worse look? A quarterback saying, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know. Whatever Zach Wilson said when he got in trouble. What was it exactly again? Something to the effect of, no, I don't owe the defense an apology. I didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Taylor will get that quote, so I'll get it right. Or a quarterback saying, I don't want to go back in.
Now I'm good. Like, it's.
I mean, any player says, I don't want to go in. I mean, what's, especially the quarterback position, what's worse?
I think this one's worse.
You think this one's worse?
I don't think there's any coming back from it. It's like, what's the alternative that he's out the league? Like, no one else is going to take a chance on him, given how he's looked the past couple of weeks. We've talked about the O-line issues. Maybe it's not all on him, but
maybe there's wiggle room for some cleanup interpretation that he's not sure that he wants to go back in. I mean, yeah, maybe there's some thread in the needle. I'm not doubting Diana Russini, but
right,
I agree. That's just doesn't sound good, right? If you're any sort of anytime you don't let's talk about,
well, there's people saying that Robert Saleh stuck with him way too long too. I mean, there's like multiple weeks that he struggled and they had the opportunity to go to Tim Boyle. We've seen what Tim Boyle can do, but now that he's okay, quote, stayed in too long, and then he doesn't even want to go back in.
Or maybe, I don't know if this sounds any better. What if the quarterback says, you know, right now I think we're trying to win, and I think Trevor Siemian gives us a better chance to win. But even then, that's a little...
raised eyebrow a little, right? Bit. But I mean, that sounds better than I don't want to go back in.
There's got to be more explanation, yeah, to that. Because to me, that's really, really interesting there. But let's go the next step further. I know it's later on your list here. Caleb Williams.
Yeah, he's came out this morning that he's skipping the Holiday Bowl matchup against Louisville to prioritize getting ready for the NFL draft. Nothing new in the college landscape, especially with NIL, but interesting move if you're his teammates.
So this cements, wasn't there some thought he might come back?
Yeah.
So this cements that he's turning pro.
Right.
Right?
I would have to think.
You just didn't confirm him coming back. There's no way he was ever going to come back.
I think it was like an empty threat. Like, oh, I'm going to kind of jerry-rig who I go to by coming back to college.
The John Elway baseball draft thing.
Yeah, no more that than, yeah, saying, oh, I might go to USC this next year.
Does he have to give back any NIL money?
I don't think so.
I'm just asking the question.
I would say it's regular season and the bowl games don't count. I would say that.
I would agree with that.
I don't know all the rules. They're all very...
You can't make NIL contingent on getting bowl eligibility. I mean, I know it only goes primarily to those athletes, but...
Well, but NIL is such a black box. I'm not sure how these guys get paid. Do they get paid every week, every month? Was it one lump sum?
I don't know. How did Florida State not make it? We'll never get an explanation on that either, so...
Don't get
I'm sorry. This is an NFL podcast, but...
No. Worth mentioning. let me tell you something.
It's injury-based. Their starter was out, backups in concussion protocol, so...
There is precedent. Let me tell you, Caleb Williams will get asked about this, mm-hmm, at the combines, in the meetings.
It's a mindset.
Yeah. Look, Nick Bosa basically did it for, you know, his whole final year at Ohio State.
You can make the argument Jackson Smith Ojigba did the same. He had hamstring issues, but didn't really rush back to Ohio State. Didn't play in any bowl games. I mean, hasn't had the hamstring problems. Haven't followed him to the league. Maybe he did offseason work to solve that, but
yeah, it's just something that he'll have to address. I'm not saying he's wrong.
Yeah.
Is it purely because the game doesn't matter? Like if CJ Stroud, you saw him playing all the way to the final buzzer because Ohio State was in the playoffs and so forth.
I think that's the argument that he would have, that this is not for a national championship. And if we were playing for a national championship or the Pac-12 championship, I played all the games. This is an extra game that I didn't sign up for. And it's just the Holiday Bowl, even though it's
don't dish the hometown Holiday Bowl.
No, but I think it's okay. But they'll ask him, how come?
Yeah.
You know, what about you're the quarterback leadership? And the question he'll have to answer is, So you have a guaranteed contract, and as soon as we're out of the playoffs, you're not going to play anymore? I mean,
I get the argument from the player side, though, too. Why am I running out there for a bowl where I'm not making any money? Arguably, you made your NIL money on the regular season, and only thing that can happen is I decrease my draft stock by picking up a legitimate injury that might affect my season.
No, I get it, but I think there's still some old school
decision makers that would say the other way. Yeah.
What about the love of the game? What about the leadership of your teammates? I'm not questioning him. I'm just saying that, you know, from my time in the NFL, and obviously I'm old guy now, I think there would be the questions, but it's happening more and more. So it's become the norm. So I get it.
With the transfer portal, what's the odds that every quarterback knows the whole offensive's name or even coaches. I mean, people are swapping in the transfer portal year after year. So,
well, that's how, I don't know how you can.
It's like you owe it to your teammates. Well, I just met these guys last year. So,
yeah. I mean, transfer portals now, I mean, it's kind of crazy. I don't know how college football pundits pick teams, and you got to know all the, it's
own headache.
It's unbelievable free agency, right? Yeah. Is what it is.
Just to go back to Aaron Rodgers real quick, don't have to get into all the Twitter conspiracy theories I've seen, and I have seen them all. Is there a difference between a partial tear and a full tear? There's some thought that, this accelerated recovery is because it's only a partial tear of the Achilles.
It was not a partial tear. By video, we can go over it. It was 100% a complete tear. The accelerated rehab is, he's pushing the envelope. And did the speed bridge technique provide some early strength from the tape, artificial sutures? Maybe, but it doesn't accelerate healing, which is why he still hasn't been able to run. You know, it's all about the chances you're willing to take. And I've said it all along. If he played any other position but quarterback, we would never even be having this discussion. If it were his back push-off leg, we probably aren't having the discussion. If it's not Aaron Rodgers with his arm strength, where you see last night pictures of him throwing with his both feet off the ground in the past, we wouldn't be having this discussion. If it weren't the New York Jets with a great defense being, quote, one quarterback messiah away from doing something, we wouldn't have the discussion. If it weren't the New York media market, we wouldn't be having the discussion. If it weren't Aaron Rodgers whipping the story, we probably wouldn't be having this discussion. It's a unique set of circumstances. It's risk reward. I mean, you're talking to the guy who risk reward, patient consent, Phillip Rivers, allowed him to play in that AFC championship game on a torn ACL 6 days from an ESCO. Risk reward in terms of what it is. So like we talked about, I said the day it happened after Saleh confirmed it, that there was a chance he could return, but not until he could run. He's 70% weight bearing.
Yeah,
he's not ready yet. And when he is ready, or even marginally ready, where are the Jets? And right now we're at that 4-8. That's where they are. I mean, if they're 5-8, maybe we'll talk about it again. But at 4-9, if that's the case, then it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how quick the conversation flips to Jets next season and how they're going to look with Aaron Rodgers fully back. That wasn't even a consideration when he tore it, and you were the first one to say that, I don't think this is a career for him. I think he's coming back.
Well, if he play the McAfee hit, I was like, I guarantee he's going to return next year,
right?
But he's going to be 40. I'm like, no, he's 40 now. I mean,
yeah,
not an issue. At least that part's put to bed.
Hey there, listeners of the Sports Injury Central podcast. Ever felt the wear and tear of intense training? We get it. Recovery is crucial. That's why we're introducing you to Mushroom Life. Unlock the natural power of functional mushrooms with their range of tinctures, soft gels, and more, all designed to support your well-being and elevate your performance. And for those days when you just want to kick back and relax, check out their Euphoric Mushroom Gummies, the perfect blend for that post-game relaxation. Very nice of them to send us a sample pack. I can't wait to dig in on my next off day. Now here's a treat for all our loyal listeners. Use the code SIC and snag an incredible 50% off across the board. Dive into the world of mushrooms and elevate your wellness journey. And always remember, shroom responsibly. Head over to Mushroom Life now and discover the magic of mushrooms. Click link in the bio in the show notes, mushroomlife.com. That's mushroomlife.com. One other one we didn't get to yet. Got some coach speak on Kenny Pickett. They said it was a right high ankle sprain. That was the one that was in the boot yesterday, and he's having a surgery to accelerate the healing process, and they're estimating 2 to 4 weeks for him to be out.
Well, let's put it this way. You did pull up video where he heard it on the cut, and it wasn't as he approached the goal line. He was falling down already. But the cut wasn't a high ankle mechanism, so maybe there's more film. Mm-hmm. It's high ankle.
He did have an ankle from the previous week, but he was FP all week. Kind of downplayed it all week, said, oh, it's just something I'm dealing with.
Well, let's put a sidebar story here. I'm not against the tightrope surgery, but the tightrope surgery is not a biological surgery. It gives you suspension to hold the fibula and tibia, the syndesmotic ligament, together more. It does not accelerate healing. It's not a bad product. It's fine. I could never figure out, I hope I get the sides right, Tua, when he had that in college, high ankle surgery, and then returned and all this stuff. But then I've done some research and we finally figured it out. Because as I watched the game, I'm like, that right ankle sprain's not even a high ankle. It's, what are you talking about? And remember, he kept playing in the game. And remember, he walked off the field. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not, I mean, Ramondre Stevenson, did he walk off the field? No. I mean, okay. That's a high ankle sprain. And then, oh my God, he returned to play. It turns out, if you look at the ESPN, it might have been Tom Rinaldi, I don't remember, report. It turned out the attention was on right ankle, but it was a later, lesser, low-level left high ankle sprain that he left the game for. And yes, he walked off the field and had that surgery and returned, what, a month or 6 weeks later?
Right.
I mean.
To his right ankle.
Okay, right. So it was right, surgery was on the right ankle. It was a left inversion ankle sprain, right. That I was like, it doesn't make sense. It's not even the right sprain. So that's what we try and do, parse out what's real or not real. I'm not denigrating the surgery. And Kenny Pickett, okay, high ankle. The ligament doesn't heal in 2 weeks. Now, if it's a mild sprain and now you have a little more support, okay, maybe you can return. The fact that it really is a high ankle puts in doubt his timeline for return, as opposed to if it was a scope or something, a little loose chip or something.
And a little longer for the back ankle, right? Because it's the right ankle. That's the one you would need to plant and turn and throw.
And sure, but also, I mean, I don't know. What's the Steelers record now?
I'd find it right here. I think they're 8-5 now.
Really? No. They can't be
7-5. Sorry, I'm giving an extra one.
So they're still in it. They're still solidly in it. What are they going to be in a couple weeks? We'll see.
Yeah, right? They said Tomlin said he doesn't see it as a season-ending injury, but definitely Mitch Trubisky going forward, including Thursday.
Thursday for sure, Mitch Trubisky. Yeah. Yes.
Bailey Zappi versus Mitch Trubisky. The matchup everybody's waiting for. Opened at 33. The total's already down to 30. Steelers by 6 is the side, but Chargers covered 6 by only scoring 6. So I covered 5.5 by scoring 6.
If the total is 30 and they're saying favored by 6.
Oh, we already looked up the 18, team totals, 12. But I want you to guess. He just ran it.
There's breaking news. Shaq,
well, Leonard, I mean, it's just Eagles. Say that again.
Shaq Leonard is signing with the Eagles right now.
Okay. After visiting the Cowboys. His
first game might be against the Cowboys.
Yeah. A lot of linebackers. That's interesting. So before we get to that, I mean, simple math equation, right? If it's 6 and it's 30, it's 18 to 12.
Yeah.
we did that.
Yeah. I mean, it's simple math.
I don't see the Pats getting the 12 against the Steelers. We're going to follow up with some sick insights on TJ Watt. Left the game with the ankle, came back a little bit, but seemed hobbled. Minkah Fitzpatrick played through the game with a left broken hand after coming back from his hamstring. He said they just put a cast on him and he was fine.
Well, Shaq Leonard signing, good for him. Interesting. It was either Eagles or Cowboys, and probably that 49er game helped, right? So he's going to face the Cowboys, although he's never been part of the Cowboys. But look, we said at the beginning of the season, we don't see Shaq Leonard being 100%. And this was my quote when I discussed it with Armando Salguera. He did an interview. I said, yeah, but I don't see Shaq Leonard as being Darius Leonard anymore. He was Pro Bowler Darius Leonard. Shaq Leonard, you know, after his two back surgeries, he hasn't been the sideline to sideline linebacker that he used to be. Maybe he can regain that form, but if he doesn't, I mean, I don't think he's the same guy right now. And that's why we sort of were a little down on him in the preseason. But I will have to say, very classy of the Colts organization and Ursay, and do the tribute and have him at the game and in the box. I mean, they did it the right way.
I got some fantasy names for you. Justin Jefferson coming back off bye. Expected to be active. That his whole window's up. Expect to be activated off IR. Any limitations in his first game back?
No, I think he's going to be ready to go. The question is it Nick Mullins or is it Josh Dobbs? Who's going to throw him the ball?
The question everyone thought they'd be asking themselves in week 14.
Yeah. But I think he's ready to go.
For a playoff contending Minnesota Vikings. So that'll be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Kenneth Walker missed two games already with that oblique, and Charbonnet banged up his knee at the end of that Thursday game against the Cowboys. Expecting either one of them to make it back?
I think it's about time for Walker to be close to being back. I don't know that Charbonnet's knee is that big of a deal either, but I think this may be the week that Walker returns.
Jonathan Taylor out with that thumb ligament surgery, came out as UCL, as your analysis predicted. They're saying 3 to 5 weeks. Is there any reason why it went from 2 to 4 to 3 to 5?
I don't know. I'm thinking under. I mean, you got to let the wound heal. The surgery, as Rap Sheet said, was needed because the ligament was flipped over the adductor tendon whenever aponeurosis. Mm-hmm. You had to put it back in the right spot. But once in the right spot, you can splint the thumb. I mean, he's a running back. And you could even still catch passes if you need to. You should be able to pass block with it. I think he returns under certainly 5 weeks. I don't think he's going to hit IR. I think 2 weeks would be very speedy, but 3 weeks, I think with a splint, you should be good to go. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the Colts are 7-5 as well. Very alive in that division, pending Jacksonville tonight. Jacksonville's 8-3, but Colts and Houston, same record, contending for wildcard spots. Didn't know that we'd be talking about that at this point in the season, but kudos to them. Gardner Minshew getting it done.
Yeah, AFC South is, you know, stronger than expected. The NFC South, not so much, right?
Yeah. AFC North, Joe Flacco made his debut coming back for the Browns. It's going to be interesting this week to track if DTR is cleared concussion protocol, but is there a chance we see Joe Flacco for another week?
Well, what would you do if DTR clears? Would you go with Flacco or go with DTR?
Flacco all day.
Oh, you like Flacco now.
He had some questionable deep throws. He was searching for something, but gives you more to the offense than DTR. No knock to the rookie, but especially if it's dicey, he's not going to practice fully all week. I think Flacco's the move.
Well, there's no question if he doesn't practice all week, it's Flacco. No question. And Flacco's still learning the system, right? So
he missed 21 throws.
Yeah. He missed 21 throws?
Yeah. It's a lot.
How many did he make? No, so 50%, a little over.
A little over.
Yeah, but late in that game, it was pass only. Yeah. It makes it harder. Yeah.
Amari Cooper, before the game, said it was poetry in motion watching him drop back and throw. I don't know that he's been that complimentary of DTR, but DTR hasn't played a lot of time in the league. So.
And Amari Cooper with his concussion.
Yeah.
Played through the ribs like we thought, but got the concussion.
So he'll be another one of those 22% chance to clear without missing a game. They play Jacksonville next week.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the good call and bad call. Again, you can sign up for 6 picks. You also get 6 data with all the field views, everything included.
Team had a good week, right? Props were 6-3.
6-3 on props. I'm highlighting some props on this one. Won't talk about the Tennessee crazy disaster game that we're all over for injuries.
We were on the right side.
Yeah, 2 block punts that special teams coach has already been let go.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
He was, oh, gosh.
This morning. Yeah. I'm sure he was screaming, not leaving the guy unblocked off the edge, too, that bent the punter's knee the opposite direction.
and then that led to the mixed extra point that would have won the game, right? Crazy.
You would know out of anybody. And the hold, are you supposed to have the ball straight up or tilt it back towards the kicker?
Well,
Depends
on the kicker, but nowadays most of them have it tilted forward.
Right.
Why forward?
I got to ask the kicker, man. I mean,
that doesn't make any sense to me.
It's usually forward.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think the idea is you're hitting the bottom part of the ball and then the ball flight, and it gives you a little more, instead of rotational, gives you more distance.
Right. Instead of more,
because you're hitting the bottom of the ball.
Wow. Wow. Kickers know physics more than I do, so.
No, I mean.
They got a lot of free time.
They do got a lot of free time.
But I don't think that the Tannehill hold was bad.
I know. That was brutal that the broadcast was ripping him. They were like, oh, I think the cadence was off. Like,
they were like, oh, he didn't put in the same spot. Well, it seemed like he did.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's what happens, okay? If it's a different holder, it's like, okay, maybe I wait half a second to give him an extra split second to get the ball where I need it to be.
Right.
And then what then happens is then you're hurrying your swing through, and then you end up hooking it, right? And so,
trust me to do my job. If I'm the holder, just say, don't give me any extra time. I'll get it down. I'll get it there.
Yeah, but
he'll blame himself after the game.
He hadn't held since college, so.
Well, let me tell you something. This is the NFL. Let me ask this. What's a bigger faux pas? I'm not trying to bang on special teams coaches. Right. Okay. Allowing two punts blocked or having the admission that no one else held?
No one else held.
Practiced. Oh, your backup. Right. You've never,
you never run backup reps for the holder. Yeah.
I mean,
you're showing a lack of coaching in that statement just a little.
Remember, I believe it was the Panthers.
That doing the kicker tryouts before the game. Yeah.
Kicker tryouts before the game?
It looks
you
bad.
Didn't plan on that a little bit? What about in Houston, the one running back? Yeah. I mean,
Dare Ogunbowale.
He clearly kicked a little bit of practice. He did the job, yeah. Right? I mean, this is the NFL. Don't you practice these contingencies?
Yeah, that's the Houston one is a little more understandable because it wasn't multiple guys like, oh, I can do it. Raise your hand.
That was the plan.
It was him warming up and let me get the feel back.
The Panthers one's a little on their side, though. The kicker got hurt less than 2 hours before the game, so they held emergency little.
But you know,
don't you have a depth chart? That's my point. It might be like, oh, this guy's number two, this guy's number three. You both need to warm up here and take some kicks in pregame because, you know, how much have you worked on a surprise? Not like, hey, raise your hand. Who can try? I mean, come on.
Before the third quarterback rule, everyone knew who the emergency quarterback is. If two go down, it's not like you're having a conversation on the sideline. Oh, who played in college? Come over here. Let's huddle.
There's like five guys that kicked a little bit, and PJ Walker was on the team, and they liked him because he kicked a field goal in high school once.
Yeah.
Before the game is not the time to.
Yeah.
In view of all the cameras and two, that's someone you can find that. Those clips on YouTube, it's pretty comical. The good call of the week, we had CMC over 72.5 rushing yards against the Eagles. Despite their strong front, they do have middle linebacker issues. Hence why Shaq Leonard signed there. He finished with 17 carries for 93 yards and a touchdown after not getting a touch in the first quarter. So pretty safe on that one in the three quarters of action.
Yeah, good.
Bad call, unfortunately. Amon-Ra St. Brown didn't go over his 82.5 receiving yards against the Saints. Marcus Lattimore is on IR with the high ankle. That was part of the reason for that. Bad game script. Six targets, two catches, 49 yards. They only threw 25 times compared to 28 rushes because they had the early lead.
Yeah.
So rough break there.
But overall, 6-3 in the week, so that's good.
Moving on to some big matchups next week. Philly at Dallas. Dallas is favored 3.5 in that game. Jalen Hurts came back, like we said, running out the locker room. A little bit surprising that he was in that game for garbage time. I enjoyed it for my fantasy team, but down three scores, why he just cleared concussion protocol. Why are you letting him run around and do all these weird plays?
So interesting. It's the game's in Dallas.
Correct.
And Dallas is favored by 3.5.
Yes.
Interesting.
Dallas with the extra rest too, and Philly coming off a fighting sideline, brutal battle. Will Big Dom be in Dallas? No, he doesn't travel on the road with them, right?
Oh, no. Security travels on the road. Oh, he's going to get suspended, though.
He's not going to be there, but he does travel.
You travel with security guards.
Yeah.
You travel with security guards. Safety, they do meet with hotel personnel. You do use some hotel personnel. But, you know, who does the bed checks?
Okay.
Security.
Not the head coach, right?
It ain't the head coach. It's security does the bed checks, right? And
he protects them when they're walking in away, you know, tunnels and stuff too.
Protects them, and there's other security too. But he's team
coordinating
liaison
with them, yeah.
And he's not the only security guard that goes. I mean, there's.
So he'll be fine without him.
Well, it'll be someone else there. But yeah. I mean, I think, look, that was New York who phoned in. You got to kick him off the sideline
because he can't encourage.
They were just kicking the one at first.
Yeah,
and then they.
The bottom line is he did push.
Because if you don't suspend him, then every sideline guy in the league is going to be encouraged to get in a fracas with whoever comes to the sideline.
I mean, you got to know your role. For example, if you're a doctor on the sideline, it is not my job, and I would never say, that's a penalty. And so that's for the coaches to say, right? I mean, that's for other
people. At the refs.
No, you should not be jawing at the refs. And one time, I won't say who, one of our athletic trainers was jawing at one of the other players, and the player was kind of taken aback by that. Like, who are you? Like, you gonna get in a uniform? You know, like, no. You gotta let the players play and the coaches that are doing stuff. You gotta. I mean, my favorite always on the sideline is when your teammate goes down your sideline, who's always the first one to jump in there and pick him up.
We only know this because he called out. It was like the strength and conditioning coach. It's
like the get back coach. Oh God, let me pick him up. I mean, you know, get it. I mean,
it's worse in basketball. No one can get it up without being helped up by their teammates. So at least football, they get up on their own sometimes.
No, it's all good. Now I think Dom's going to get suspended.
Yeah.
And that probably will make him a bigger cult hero.
Oh, 100%.
And sell more merchandise.
They're already printing the t-shirts in Philly. You can guarantee that.
He has his own clothing line.
I mean, free Dom and, you know, whatever. Yeah. I mean, Philly's a unique place.
Yeah.
Free cheesesteaks for life, for sure, if not already.
They already.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about in the room. What is unusual about Dom is pretty much every NFL head of security for a team is a former cop. And you guys looked it up and said he's not a former cop.
And his two predecessors were.
And he worked up in the organization to the role.
You can guarantee there's some cops in the family. I don't want to typecast, but seems like it's a high likelihood.
That's what it is around there. They're all cops and former cops, and they use a lot of former cops for the private security roles, et cetera. And there are definitely back channel phone calls. I'm not saying that anyone's dirty.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing players favors or, you know, getting them out. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying.
People talk, especially.
I did this in the NFL, which is, oh, we're thinking about this trade or find out about this guy, whether it's calling his doctor in college or calling the doctor on the other team. Hey, tell me about you know. Common courtesy.
Kind Gotta of use thing. Your connections. That's what you have them for.
That's why they usually head of security is a cop. They can deal with all the local cops and, okay, what really did happen here? Well, here's what's happened. He's in big trouble.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm not saying they're hiding and sweeping things under the rug. And it's not saying it's payola, but it's information. So what really happened here? Yeah, he really wasn't that bad. This is good. Or no, he's in big trouble here. This is what really happened.
Well, if you're the team, you want to know about the Jordan Addison getting arrested for driving 95 before it gets out in the public. So I feel like that's usually how they find out, right?
You want to know, and what were the circumstances? You know,
get all the specifics so they can make a decision. Yeah.
And where was he before? They know all that stuff, kind of deal.
Fletcher Cox is kind of interesting. He played through his groin. Even like Lane Johnson did pretty well too. Fletcher Cox, 2 tackles, sack, and a tackle for a loss after not practicing all week. Going to be a week better against Dallas.
I mean, Fletcher Cox, still we're more worried about his back than his groin. And,
right.
And Fletcher Cox, he's a vet. The vet rest probably helped him, you know, save him for the game. Lane Johnson, I have to give it to him, did very well, I thought, watching him. I was more worried about his left groin.
Yeah, it was interesting. Nick Posa wasn't on the injury report, but there was a report that he got stepped on at practice and was nursing a toe injury. I don't think that would linger into next week, but big matchup against the Seahawks at home for the Niners. So that's just one to track and one we'll have on Sick Insights. Buffalo at KC. KC came out of the game in Lambeau with the loss. Also lost Brian Cook with the gruesome ankle injury. Drew Tranquil got the concussion from the knee to the ear hole from A.J. Dillon. So hopefully he can clear and make it back for KC, but Buffalo has their own issues on defense. So it could be an interesting game.
I think Nick Bolton should be back maybe for the Chiefs. So maybe the Drew Tranquil concussion will be less of an issue. But Cox will definitely be out, surgery out for the season. But they have Edwards, he said? Yeah.
Yeah, they got some decent backups in the safety. At safety. Brian Cook, yeah.
I still say it's the tackles for the Chief, the left tackle and the right tackle that are just, I mean,
Smith is out with a neck right now.
He was in and out, in and out, and the right tackles had his struggles.
League of penalties.
Might be some hiding behind health to be had there. Going back to Philly real quick, is it almost Dallas Goedert time with that radial head fracture. They keep calling it forearm, but his elbow, right?
He's close. I mean, what about Zach Ertz?
Yeah, Zach Ertz is ready to come too, maybe, to the
Eagles. Yeah, who knows?
I mean, one of those guys, I mean, he's getting close. Yeah. I think Goddard's getting close. We always thought he'd be back. I would have thought that maybe Zach would have just, I don't know what his contractual deals
Baltimore's
are.
Baltimore's looking at him too, because they don't have Mark Andrews right now. So that's a spot that might give him some decent amount of money too. For the
playoffs. Yeah, I don't think the money's the big issue there.
Yeah.
Doesn't Arizona still have to pay him? Discount to be free. Arizona still has to pay him, I think. So in terms of net money, I don't think he's playing for money, because what Arizona's on the hook for, unless he can do the double dip at the end, it's not about the money, it's about the fit. And I would have to think better feelings in Philadelphia.
Was Leonard the same way? He's looking for a fit between Cowboys, and then when that Niners game happened, Eagles probably gave him a little bit more money and then get him over, because he was probably even on both.
Yeah, whoever makes the best pitch for him and the best situation. So, yeah, I don't know the details there.
I think it's a win-win for Zach Ertz. Gets to find a new team in contention and doesn't have to be on the field next to Trey McBride, who looks pretty incredible.
We're on the sideline watching.
Ertz still is coming off that ACL, so that'll be interesting to see how he looks with the extra rest. I just want to highlight some big division matchups this week, and then we'll get to Beast of the Week. Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Falcons are -2.5. Sole lead of that division. Falcons are, despite all the talk about them, they are 3-0 in that division, so that helped them with the tiebreaker before. And then Denver at the Chargers. Chargers favored by 2.5.
Yeah, I mean, interesting. I mean, 6-0. Who would have thought?
We did.
Well, we did have the under. Yes. But we weren't saying under 10.
No,
I mean,
we weren't saying
that. We thought 20 would be safe, but under 10, that's crazy, right?
Yeah, Keenan Allen didn't do a whole lot. Remember, he had that quad, came in the game questionable, and then Quentin Johnson was
told
the leader.
That was.
There was a better that bet no touchdowns to be scored in that game.
Astute. Yeah.
Beast of the Week. I got two nominations. Will Levis. Don't know if you remember seeing the play where he threw the pick and then ran down and forced the fumble and got it back.
That's good.
I want that guy playing quarterback for me. Yeah, and then Minka Fitzpatrick playing through the broken hand. Said it happened in the second quarter. They wrapped it up at halftime. They had about an hour and a half at halftime to figure out how to
A lot of time.
That. Yeah.
Could almost done surgery on that with all the delays in that game. You know, that's good, Minka, Will Levis, but I might single out Puka Nacau. I mean, here's a wide receiver. You saw how he walked off holding his ribs and flank and couldn't move, could barely move. So to me, he clearly took an in-game injection to return to play, and he did okay in the second half.
No, thanks for reminding me. I had him on the list, skipped over him earlier, but he had a rush for 31 yards, only one target in the second half.
Still, I mean, the way he walked off the game, it was hard for him to lay down and get in bed, that night, and he took an injection to return to play. So I might give it to Puka Nacau. He'll be missing practice basically all week and then need another game day injection to play. But, you know, it's also in an era after Tyrod Taylor, who, by the way, is eligible to come off injured reserve now with his ribs and won't need a rib block.
Does he take the job from DeVito?
Yes, I think he does. Yeah. As soon as he's healthy and ready. Yeah. Is it this week or next week? Mm-hmm. We don't know.
He's got the magical healing powers of Monday. Green Bay at the Giants on Monday. There's two Monday night games this week.
Oh, the extra day. Yes.
Extra day. So that helps. I think we've shot down that myth on this podcast before, but
yeah. All right, so anything else, guys? That should be it for this end of week 13, headed to week 14 podcast here, chugging along here. Some interesting football, and hopefully we'll get back to fewer injuries, but it's a pretty significant injury week here. Or has there been enough guys injured already that it's hard to say, but sick insights for all your fantasy stuff and playoffs and different things and sick picks and the props, and you guys always have something going on there. Appreciate you guys, and we'll see you at the halftime injury chat tonight.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.